So we are holding on Kofiyot Chet on the days at the very top. So we're in the middle of discussing the matter of Yad and Shomer. We've said you have a Yad, which is something that's not part of the food itself, but is attached to it and functions as a handle, for example, a bone to a piece of meat. And we have a Shomer, like, for example, skin on meat or peel on a or peel on a fruit or whatever, which so far what we've been saying is we started with the actual din, that a shomer, that a yad is tame umitame, it's able to transmit tuma to the food it's attached to, and it's also able to transmit tuma from the food that it's attached to other food that it touches. It's also, so that's metame or metame, or as the Gemara has also been calling it over here, machnes and motzi. Machnes meaning to bring tumor from the outside to the thing that it's attached to, and motzi that it's able to transmit tumor from the thing it's attached to something else. And we said that's motzi. That's for a yad, for a yad. And then we said on top of that, a shomer has an additional thing that when it comes to tumas oichlin, that the shomer actually counts towards the kabeisa that you need for tumas oichlin. We said it doesn't count towards the shear for the object that itself is tome, for the object that is the source of trauma, namely the nevela, but it does count towards the kibetza for the mass of food that you're talking about becoming tome or not. Okay, so we've been discussing then how we know all this. We mentioned in this connection we have various psukim from which we learn the concept of yad by food, and also by nevela, and also by klei cheres, an earthenware oven. And we've been discussing how we know then which ones of them are meant to teach us which of these details. The last thing we said is that given that we have a pasuk about shomer of nevela, and we don't really need it because the fact that it's able to be machnes and motzi, we know about kavu chomer from yad, because if a yad can do that, how much more so a shomer, which actually protects the food. So therefore, instead of applying that pasuk to a shomer or nevela, instead we apply it to yad of other things. Therefore, we have an extra pasuk to say that a yad is able to do both, to be motzi and to be machnes. And therefore, if we have another pasuk that tells us that you have a shomer of food, alkol zera zerua, then it must teach us in addition that it's mitzvah.
Only the shomer
is mitzvah, right. So now the question is, top of Kofiyot Chet on the days, the ema, maybe you should say differently. Granted, so you have a pasuk that's extra by shomer of nevela, because you don't need it, because again, the shomer of nevela, it's anyway not mitzvah, so you can't say that it's teaching us that it's mitzvah, because we said it's not. It's only machnes or motzi, and you don't need that, because we already know if a yad can be machnes and motzi, certainly a shomer could. So ve'ema, but maybe you should say, in the shomer de nevela, maybe you should say that, fine, you're not applying it to shomer of nevela, because it's not necessary, but at least it's not necessary to tell us that it's machnes and motzi either, because you know that by kavu chomer from yad, shneyo inyan l'shomer de alma. Maybe you should say it applies to shomer of other kinds of food. Namely, therefore, we would say shomer l'hachnes or shomer l'tzaref. So we would say, therefore, again, we said that we have two things about we said that we have one thing extra of on shomer over yad. So all this time we've been saying, and we've been bringing sukkim to the effect, and droshes to the effect that the yad is able to be motzi and machnis, and therefore the shomer, if it has something extra, it must be that there are cases where it's mitzaref. But now we should say maybe not. Maybe what it is fine. We have an extra pasuk by shomer of nevela. What it teaches us is not as far as nevela, but as far as other things that have a shomer, that shomer lahachnis v'shomer l'tzaref, but the shomer is able to bring tumah to what it's attached to, and also v'shomer l'tzaref, and that it's able to combine together to make up the kabeisa for tumas ochlin. Avo yad lahachnis loy. Maybe we would say that a yad is not able to bring in tumah to what's attached to it. It's only able to bring out tumah from what it's attached to something else.
Bring in and take.
No, that's the thing. We argued that yes, on the basis of the various lemudim, we argued that. We said that given that we have an extra pasuk as far as shomer, we said that therefore it must be that the extra thing of the shomer must be that it's mitzvah. But now we're going back and saying though that maybe what it is maybe we took it, we said in the course of the discussion, we said that maybe the yad can't be machnes. We proved from the Tano, we proved from the extra positive of Yad regarding the Tano. Now, in the end, we're saying over here that ultimately we do need all the various tukim of Yad we need the positive of Yad by Tano, and we need the positive of Yad by food. The only one that was extra by, we thought to say was Nevela, and even that we said wasn't really extra, because then otherwise we would say Gaia of Omenadinius Kenodin, and we would say that the Yad of a Nevela is not able to bring Truma out from it. So we're back to each of those yodos is needed to teach us that Yad applies in that case. So we're back to, we don't know, therefore. Again, we don't have a source for that necessarily. So we could argue maybe a Yad is only able to be Moti.
Why we're trying to deconstruct what
because we're trying to figure out. We need to know ultimately where these halachos come from. We're saying the fact is that a Yad, we began with a Mishnah in Uktin, the first Mishnah in Uktin, we began that says that a Yad is able to be Machnis to Moti. To use the expression of the Mishnah, but it's not Mitzvah, but a Shomer is. So now we're still in the middle of analyzing why should that be so? Where are we learning these concepts? Right? Yeah. Okay. So maybe we should say Shomer Lahachnas or Shomer Lasadif. So we should say this extra pasuk of Shomer by Nevela teaches us that a regular Shomer of food, not of Nevela, is able to be Machnas and it's able to be Mitzvah. It's able to combine together to make up the Kabeza. Our Yad Lahachnas Loi. Maybe you should say, though, that a Yad is not able to bring Tumah into what's attached to it. Yeah. So therefore, so we have to explain differently. Ella, no. We're going to say like this. Earlier in, well, because of that question, we have to understand it differently. Before, we argued earlier in the sugya, we said that maybe we should say that a yad is only able to be motzi and is not able to be machnis, and that led us into a discussion to say that if it can bring in truma, for sure it can bring out truma for something else, because you already have truma existing over there. So now we're going back to that earlier point in the discussion.
Can we come back to that point? Okay, so
we said like this. Before we said Ema, we said Ema Yad Lahotzi V'loy Lahachnis. We said maybe a Yad is only able to be, maybe a Yad is only able to be Moti, is only able to bring out Tumah where you already have existing Tumah and something that it's attached to, but not to be Machnis, not to bring in Tumah. In the middle of there, Ema Yad Lahotzi V'loy Lahachnis, Shomer Lahotzi Lahachnis, Avo Yad Lahachnis for Shomer Latzarif Loi, we said there's an extra Yad. We said there's an extra Yad in the connection of the Tanur, and therefore we learn from that it's able to be Machnas as well. Now we're going to take that back. The answer is we have a different answer. We don't need an extra Yad to teach us that a Yad is able to bring in Truma to bring in Truma to the food that it's attached to, because Ki Ksiva Yad Achnosa Ksiva. Because what's the context where it talks about a Yad in connection with food? We're talking about where the food becomes Tomei as a result of a Sheret touching it. So therefore, we're talking about Truma being brought into the food. We're talking about to be Machnis. So the actual context where it talks about Yad is already to be Machnas. So we don't need to say we wouldn't have known that we're Machnas through a Yad, and we have to learn it from Yad that it mentions by Tanur. We know it from the very context that it's talking about, that we're talking about Machnas, that we're talking about that the Tumah is able to enter this food when the Sheretz touches the Yad of the food and then transmits to the food itself. So that answers our question. Therefore, so once we say that it's Machnas, then for sure, of course, it's Motzi. And then, therefore, if we
for a Yad, I mean, Sheretz can touch anything without a Yad, even in its
obviously. But we're saying, how do we know the concept that the Tumah is able to come in through the Yad? In other words, even though the Sheretz never actually touched the food, that nevertheless the food is going to become Tumah by way of the Yad. That we learned from the pasuk that we said Lochem, and Lochem means the whole Shabbat Tzarcheichem, anything that you need, which includes the Yad to handle the food. Right. So that's the point. Earlier in the sugya, we were arguing that maybe a Yad is only able to be Motzi where you already have Tumah in the food, so fine, the Yad is able to bring it out for something else. Who says that the Yad is able to bring it in, that you don't even have any Tumah in this entity yet, and you're able to bring in Tumah from the outside, and that led us into the whole discussion of Tanur. Now we're saying, never mind that. What's the context? The pasuk is telling us that if a sheretz falls on the lochem of a food, and the food became wet previously, then it becomes tamei. That's lahachnis.
Right.
So once we know lahachnis, then lahoitzi is very obvious, because if it can be machnis, even then for sure it can be moitzi, as we said before. Well, because to bring in truma to something that didn't yet have truma is a much...
So obvious, actually.
It is, because that's what we said earlier in the Sylvia. We said that once you know that it's machnis, then for sure it can be moitzi.
Why?
Because to bring in tumah to the thing that the yad is attached to, where there's no tumah in the yad or in the thing that it's attached to yet, to say that the tumah is able to come in through that yad is a big chiddush. To say that once you have the food that's attached to the yad is tameh, that the yad should be bottled to the food, and therefore that tumah can go out from the food to something else, that's a much more obvious thing. So once we know from the context of the pasuk that the yad is able to be machnis, automatically we know that's moitzi. If we have an extra pasuk regarding a shomer, we said we have an extra pasuk regarding the shomer of a nevela, and we're redirecting it to use it for something else, then obviously that must mean to teach us that shomer of food is able to be mitzaref as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we haven't changed.
But we haven't changed anything. We clarified where we get from. Yeah. Okay. So fine. The question is, Ela shomer de nevela lomali. In that case, then why? We're learning mitzaref. We're not learning from shomer of nevela at all. We're learning from shomer of Zeroyim, alko Zera Zerua Asher Yizareya. That we said, Zera Zerua, I mean the seed as it's taken out the plant where it has a shell on it. So from that we know, so we have an extra pasuk on that. And again, once we know that a yad is able to be metame or metame, is able to be matnes and moti, automatically we would know the same thing is true as far as a shomer. So if we have an extra pasuk about the shomer, Zera Zerua, it must teach us that it's metare. So now in that case, if we understand it that way, we're left with the shomer of the nevela as being extra. We said binivlasa, that we're learning that the shomer of a nevela is not mitzvah. So what are we doing with the pasuk of a shomer of a nevela after all?
So it says machnis moitzi is a chiddush.
Machnis is a chiddush, but we learn it. Moitzi is automatically learned from a kavah chomer, and that a shomer of food, is able to be machnis and moitzi. We also learn from a kavah chomer, because if a yad can do it, surely a shomer can do it. So the extra pasuk about a shomer teaches us that it's also mitzvah. So now the question is,
and that includes mitzvah. We don't need the third one.
No. Now we're saying, forget about for a second the fact that you have yad as far as zroyim and as far as nevela and as far as tanu. Forget about that for the moment.
Right.
Now we're dealing with just the fact within zera itself, within the fact that zera has a yad, which we learn from lachem. We're saying that from that pasuk itself, we see that's machnis because that's the context of the pasuk. Moitzi we learn by a kavah chomer. And once we have that, then shomer, also we know that it's machnes and moitzi from a kavah chomer from that.
So we have two extra psukim.
So we have, so far, we have tanur and nevela left. Fine. Right now we're not dealing with that. Right now we're focusing on how we know that the yad is able to be metame or metame, but not mitzvah from the shomer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now the question is, ela shomer de nevela lomali. So why do we need, and the fact is, I mean, we still need to know the concept that a yad also applies to a nevela, that the nevela is able to transmit tumor to other things through its yad. No, because again, we couldn't have learned it from Zeroyim, because Zeroyim have a feature of their own. So we need a pasuk to tell us that a nevela has such a thing as a yad. We need a pasuk to tell us that Kalim also has such a thing as a yad. Because again, we said before, we can't derive one from the other. But the point is, now we're saying we don't need the Tanur to teach us about any of the others, and we don't need the Nevela to teach us about any of the others. Each one is a self-contained unit of its own.
The Tanur would teach us about what? Okay.
That Kalim, if they have a Yad, that Truma can go in now.
Right.
Yeah.
And
then, yeah. Okay. So, Ela Shomer de Nevela Lomali. So why do we need the pasuk about Shomer of Nevela? The answer is Lagufe. Okay, we need it for the basic concept that if a nevela has a shomer, that it has a certain din.
Right.
So the question is, okay, what's the din that we're learning? Well, am I? Elis Zerufi, is it that you're telling me that we need to learn that a shomer is not mitzaref? We said, Amar Talai mitzaref. He said, it's not mitzaref, so we're not learning that. Elahachnas alahoitzi, if you're telling me that the shomer of the nevela is able to bring tumor in and out, kavachomer miyad asya. You could learn it by a kavah chomer from yad. By the way, when we say over here lahachnis or lahotzi, Marashah points out, there's no sense in talking about lahachnis to bring in tuma to a nevela. A nevela itself is intrinsically tummy. So he explains, we mean lahachnis as far as other things, and lahotzi as far as bringing tuma from the nevela to something else.
Could make it more tummy than it is?
No. Well, not
technically.
No, not really. No.
No.
No. No. It's already an avatoma. It can't become more than an avatoma. So no, so Marshall explains that when the Gemara says we hear lahachnes or lahoitzi, what we mean is lahachnes in terms of other shomrim, and lahoitzi as far as a nevela. Whatever the point is that
so nevela would be used to teach partly from nevela and partly from some other things.
Well, again, to be machnes tuma into a nevela, there's no such thing. Nevela is already a tuma as it gets.
Right.
So all we need by a nevela is lahoitzi. But we still need to know lahachnis, the concept that a shomer is able to bring in tumah to other things. But the question is why? Kavah chomer miyad. Again, we know that by a kavah chomer from yad. The answer is kavah chomer miyad. Okay, the Gemara answer is fine. Milta to ask you, but kavah chomer tarach l'kalt of lakra. Sometimes you have something which we could have learned by a kavah chomer, the pasuk still takes the trouble to write it out explicitly. So we can say we have a pasuk of shomer by nevela, even though it's not strictly necessary because we could have learned it by a kavah chomer, fine, the pasuk spells it out for us. Okay. Okay. Well, one second. The question is, if so, then how b'chlal do you know that a shomer of food is able to be mitzadif? You could argue the same thing. You could say that maybe the root pasif by shomer is teaching you the concept of lahachnis, which otherwise you wouldn't have known. Because you only know about a yad, you don't know about a shomer except by a kavachomer, and you could say the same thing. So how do you know that the pasuk by shomer is teaching us the tzaref? It's teaching us that it's mitzaref. Maybe it's just again spelling out what we could have learned by a kavachomer from yad. The answer is hecha the ikal midrash darshinan. Fine, but wherever we're able to darshin a pasuk, we will darshin it rather than saying that it's just something extra that the Torah could have just left as a kavachomer. But when it comes to shomer of food, of zroim, we have the ability to say that pasuk is teaching us that the shomer has an extra din that the yad does not, namely that's mitzvah, therefore we're going to darshin it that way. When it comes to the shomer of nevela, we have no choice. There is nothing else left to learn from it. Because we're not learning that it's mitzvah. We said it's not mitzvah because we learn from the nivlosa that it's not.
It's only your food and...
Well, we're saying that it's status for Trumas Oichlan, not for Trumas Nevela. That's the point. So therefore, so we're not learning that it's status because that's blocked by Benivlasa. We don't need it to tell us that it's Machnes Umoiti, because that we already know from a Kavachomer, from Yad. So we have to say, therefore, that it's just there in order to teach us something that we could have anyway learned with a Kavachomer. We're not learning anything extra from it. There's nothing else available for us to learn from it. But shomer of food, we have something else. We're able to learn about it, namely that it's mitzvah, therefore we use it for that. Okay. Rav Chaviva Omer. Rav Chaviva says, here's a different answer. That we said, going back a little bit, we said at the end of Omer Aleph that we said that the you don't need the pasuk of shomer of nevela because you could learn it by a kavachomer from yad, and therefore we have it extra, and therefore we can apply it to yad and say that from it we learn that a yad is able to be not only machnes but also moiti, or the other way around, not only moiti but also machnes. So we said that we argued by that you don't need that because the pasuk itself is talking about the context of lastness. Rav Chaviva Omer, Rav Chaviva says here's a different way of understanding it. Shiny shomer de nevela. It's different when talking about the case of a shomer of nevela because kibben de maisi yad ka'ovid, because it we can say like this. Since we established that the shomer of a nevela is not mitzvah, that means the shomer of a nevela, the skin attached to a piece of nevela meat, for example, what is it functioning as? It's functioning as a yad. Because the only possibilities are it's a shomer or it's a yad. If it's not serving, if it doesn't have the halachos of a shomer as far as tumah, then it has then by elimination, basically it's functioning as if it was a yad. So therefore, shiny shomer de nevela, kim de maite yod kovid, since it's functioning effectively as a yad, in that it's only machnes and moti tumah, it's not mitzvah, because we said that a shomer of nevela is not mitzvah. Therefore, shadin, therefore, ayad shadin, and so therefore, it's logical to say that those words in the pasuk are actually teaching us something about a general yad, about a general yad of food that's a motzi, and that's machnes, which otherwise we might not have known. So we don't have to use the answer before that the context of yad of food is already talking about lahachnes. We could say that maybe we would have thought it meant lahotzi, and we're learning from the shomer of nevela that it's also able to be machnes.
We cannot say that a yad can be a shomer at the same time.
Well, it could, but that's not the point. Is what we're saying over here is a shomer. The definition of shomer has a certain din to it, namely that it's mitzvah. We say by a nevela, a shomer is not mitzvah. Therefore, in effect, it gets downgraded to a yad. even in terms of actual function, it functions as a shomer because it's protecting the food from spoiling or whatever. But in terms of its status, lahalacha, in effect, it's just a different kind of yad. Because all it's doing is a
time. That cannot meet starif, so it's called
a therefore, yad. In effect, all it is a yad, yeah. So therefore, once we have that, then already we can say, therefore, it's more, therefore, so therefore, we can say, it's very easy to say, therefore, okay, well, we don't need it for shomer of nevela. Instead, by nevela, all it functions as effectively as a yad. Okay, well, we don't need it to teach us about yad of nevela. We would have known that already. So therefore, we can use it for yad of food.
What did we prove that the shomer of nevela was not mitzvah?
Because we said at the beginning that at the beginning of the Gemara on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis that when it says v'nivlosa means v'loy ba'orsha ein ol kazayis baser. That if you have a piece of skin where there's not a kazayis of meat attached to it,
right,
then the skin doesn't combine together with it to make up the kazayis.
Because
it says only nivlosa, right. Okay.
And skin is not
right. Okay. Fine. Okay. So now Rashi says actually we have used all the yodos. So Rashi says over here in the Rashi Ayad Shadinan, right? About the little past the middle of the narrow lines in Rashi. So now we need all of them. We'll say that all the various yodos that it mentions by Zroyim and by Nevela and by Tanur are all teaching us that the yad can transmit from it to something else. Because we can't learn any one of them from any of the other ones. As we said before, because each one has a unique feature of its own. Or the Nevela, and even the one of Nevela is not extra. You can't learn it from the combination of Zroyim and Tanur. Mishum below term of Dayoi, because we don't want, otherwise we would think to say Dayoi, that the Yad of a Nevela is not capable of making a person Tomei. Shomer, the Nevela, Lias Inyan, the Yad Lachnosa, and we take the Shomer of Nevela and use it, and then and we use it instead to teach us that a Yad is also able to be Machnis. The Shomer of Oichlim, Lotharif, and then we learn from Shomer of Oichlim, of Zroyim, that it's also able to combine together as far as Tumas Oichlim. So now we've covered everything.
The Shomer of Oichlim
teaches us Lotharif. That's what we said, because since we have something extra, that a Shomer has to be something more than a Yad, and we have an extra Pasuk for it. So therefore, so according to Rav Chaviva, we've covered everything. Okay, fine. Maskifor of Yehuda Bar Yishmael. Okay, but now Rav Yehuda Bar Yishmael has a problem with. Okay, let's go back all the way to the beginning of the sugya. We said, how do we know the concept of a shomer when it comes to Tumas Oichlin at all? We said, because the pasuk is Zera Zerua, and therefore it means a seed the way it's normally taken out to be planted, which means, therefore, when you take out barley grains or wheat grains, they often, or always, as the case be, maybe, as we discussed yesterday, have a peel, have a shell on them. So therefore, we learned from that the shell combines together with it. The problem with that is, Hodichnan, what about this that we learn in another Mishnah in Uksin? What about we learn in another Mishnah in Uksin? Hapitma shal rimon mitzarefes. The pitma of a pomegranate combines together with the pomegranate itself. But the nace of it does not combine. Now you have, when you look at the top of a pomegranate, yeah, there's a couple of different explanations among different Rishonim, Rashi over here, and Rambam, and others, what exactly the pitma versus the nace is. But Rashi over here explains like this. When you look at the top of a pomegranate, you have a little crown-shaped thing on the top of it. Inside that crown-shaped thing, you have a bunch of fuzzy pieces over there, which are leftovers of the flower. The leftovers actually of the flower from which the fruit developed. But and in the middle over there, you have one stick-like thing, which is called the pitma, sort of like on an S-rig. Sort of like the pitma on an S-rig in that sense. Yeah. I suppose we can find one, but for example, I mean, you think of any fruit you'll find like that, that's not a very good picture. Whatever. Okay, here. Let's see. So you have here, for example, here's a cross section through it. So you have the crown shaped thing around it, you have the little hairy things all around, and then in the middle you have the style, which is like when the flower was growing, you had a style in the middle, and you had those little fuzzy things, the pollen sacs or whatever they are, all around it. So now, not so separate. Okay, here's a cross section of the top of a pomegranate.
Right.
So you have the crown shaped thing all around.
Right.
You have the little fuzzy things.
Which is this?
Yeah. You have the little fuzzy things inside that. And in the middle over there, you have one stick-like thing.
Okay.
So it's like the pitima of an esrog in that sense. The point is, it actually explains over here, the pitima means that stick. And the nate means, the nate then would be, the nate then would be either the fuzzy things around it or the crown-shaped thing on top, whatever it is. So the Mishnah says that there are pitma shodrim and mitzareset, the pitma, the stick, combines together for tumas oichlin, v'anate shaloi e mitzaref, whereas the crown does not combine. Now, the problem with that is, v'amai. Now, why should either one of them combine? Kori kan al-kozera zeruah v'lecha. You still have to apply over here the pasuk al-kozera zeruah. Now, when you plant pomegranates, what are you planting exactly? How do you plant trees? Either you plant a branch, from an existing tree, a clone, and then in that case there's no nace and there's no pitma, or if you're planting an actual pomegranate, or if you're planting seeds, then you already have the pitma has already fallen off. So either way, it's not something that's planted together with the rima, and why should it count?
A branch is enough to grow a tree.
So if you're telling me that we're learning from Akol Zera Zerua, then why should either the nates or neither the pitma nor the nates of a pomegranate should count towards it? The two, and besides that, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shmuel. Yeah, well, that's what we have to figure out. The two, and besides that, also, if you're telling me that we're only learning from Alchol Zera Zerua, Hoditznan, what about, let's go back to our Mishnah. We said that the skin, or the congealed grease, or the kippah, etc., all combined together, that they all combine together for a kebetz of a Tumas Erklin. You'd have to ask Manolan, where are you getting that from? They're not Zera Zerua, you don't plant meat. So if you're telling me that we're only learning the concept of shomer by foods from Achol Zera Zerua, then it should only apply to things that are actually planted with shells on them. So only seeds that happen to have shells on them. It wouldn't apply to pomegranates and it wouldn't apply to meat. Ella, no. The answer is, we have to say like this. Shlosa kroi ksidi. You have three times in the pasuk that talks about Tumas Oichlin, three times that it mentions the shoresh zora. The pasuk says, Achol Zera Zerua Asher Yizareh. On any seed of planting which can be planted.
That's only plant.
No, one second. Therefore, we have three words, and therefore we can dash in them. Chad l'shomer d'zroi. So we're going to say, like we said before, that zera zerua, those two words themselves teach us that the seed plus its shell counts. No, rather we're going to dash in it like this. Chad l'shomer d'zroi. One of them teaches us about the shomer of seeds that it counts towards the kibetzah. V'chad l'shomer d'ilonis. The next one teaches us the same thing applies to tree fruits like pomegranates, and therefore the pitma counts. V'idach l'shomer b'aser beitz and medogim. And the third one teaches us that it also applies to things that don't grow from the ground, like meat and eggs and fish.
You can apply to things that don't grow.
Because once we have extra words in the pasuk could have just said v'chiyupol minivlosim akol zera. It doesn't have to say zerua asher yizareah. So therefore, those words are available for drashas that it's not only zroyim but also other kinds of food that have shoyim. So it also applies to fruits, even though the shell is not planted with them, and it also applies to meat and eggs and fish.
So the meat is also deriving from zera.
So ultimately, we're deriving them all from zera. Yeah. Okay. So that's then. So ultimately, that's where we know the concept of shomer of food from, not just from zera zerua, but from the fact that you have three times in the pasuk, you have zera zerua and yizareah. So those teach us all the three different basic food types that all of them have a concept of shomer. Well, okay, you want to say it that way, fine. I mean, zera is a noun, zerua is a zerua. No, zerua is not necessarily a past. It's more like an adjective that can be planted. And asher yizareya, that will be planted. That's a verb. That's a future tense verb. Fine, whatever it is. The point is that we're learning these three things from it. And then in that case, the reason why with the pomegranate the pitma counts and the nate doesn't is because of something else that we're going to deal with soon, which is that there's no such thing as a shomer on top of a shomer. So we have with a pomegranate the style over there, the stick-like thing, is considered the shomer because it protects the food underneath it. The nates, again, the hairy things around it, or the crown-shaped thing, that's a shomer on top of a shomer. So that's why it doesn't count.
Okay. So the only thing that counts is
the direct shomer closest to the food. For example, one example you have with that is various kinds of nuts have an outer hard shell, and then within that outer hard shell, sometimes they have a softer inner shell.
Which doesn't count.
Which doesn't, so only the inner shell counts. The outer one does not, because the shomer of a shomer, yeah. Okay, new discussion. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav. Yesh yad l'tumah v'ein yad l'hechsher. This whole concept that we're talking about a yad of food, we're saying that it applies as far as tumah, and it's able to be most machnis and motzi, as we've just discussed, but not as far as hechsher. Meaning, let's say, for example, we're talking about a piece of meat with a bone attached. If, let's say, the bone becomes wet with one of the shivamashim, the exposed end of the bone becomes wet with one of the shivamashim, it will not make the meat susceptible to tumah, says Rav. The yad only works... Rav is saying like this. If you have a source of tumah, for example, sheretz or some other food that's tummy or whatever, that touches the bone, and then the bone is attached to the meat, then the meat will become tummy. And vice versa, if the meat becomes tummy, then the tumah will go through the bone to some other food that it touches. But Rav is saying, if the bone and the meat were not yet tummy, and all it is the exposed end of the bone got wet with one of the shivamashkin, but the meat did not, the liquid didn't touch the meat, and later on, a sheret touches the bone, Rav says the meat will not become tamei because of that. The yad does not work as far as being machshel lekabel tumah, says Rav. For Rav Yochanan, Amar Yesh Yad LeTumah VeLaHechsher. Rav Yochanan says it applies to both. The yad works also as far as hechsher. So if the bone gets wet, then the meat that's attached to the bone can also become tamei. So the Gemara says, "B'mayi kumikugi." What is the underlying machlokas between Rav and Rav Yechanan? He boy say masvara. He boy say.
But Rav says yes. Yad.
The tumoga ain't lat ain't lat yehasher. He boy say masvara. He boy say makra. You could say they're arguing on a logical point, and you could say that they're arguing based on how they douse in the psukim. He boy say makra. You could say they're arguing about how to douse in the psukim, namely. Like this. How does the pasuk go that teaches us about yad? So here's a chumash. Okay. Oral. We're trying to learn Torah over here, so please. Yeah.
All right.
Here's the pasuk. Here's the relevant pasuk. V'chi yutan mayim al zera. If water is placed on food. The nafal minivlasam olav, and then part of the nevela of an animal falls upon that food. Tomehu lachem, then the food becomes tomeh. The lachem over there is where we're learning the concept of yad. So the question is, how far back in the pasuk are we extending this concept of yad? Mar sova, Rav holds mikra nidrash lefonav v'loy lefnei ponav. Rav says you can only darshan the lochem as referring to the immediately previously thing in the pasuk, which is the nafam and ivlasam olav tomehu. Therefore, only the yad only works as far as tumah, but not as far as being machshir. Or mar sova mikra nidrash lefonav v'lefnei ponav. Rabbi Yechanan says it refers back to two subjects earlier, so therefore it also refers back to the v'chiyu fan mayim alzera. That's one reason. Ibari sema svara. Or another way you can say is that Rav and Rabbi Yechanan are arguing about the svara. How does hechsher lekabel tumah work? Mar sava hechsher tchilas tumah hu. Rabbi Yechanan holds that hechsher is the first stage of it becoming tumah. So therefore, if a yad works as far as tumah, then it also works as far as being machsher lekabel tumah, which is the beginning stage of it becoming tumah. No, of course it's not tummy, but it's susceptible to tumah, and therefore Rabbi Yechanan would consider that the beginning of the process of it becoming tummy. Or Mar Sava Hechshalat Chilas Tumah, who is Rav would hold that's not. Okay. Tanya Kavaseid Rabbi Yechanan. We learn a brayta that agrees with Rabbi Yechanan. Kishem she yesh yad l'tumah, kach yesh yad l'hechsher. Just as there is a yad as far as tumah, which we know from before that it works l'hachnas alayti, so there is a yad as far as hechsher. Again, that if the yad becomes wet, then the food that's attached to also is susceptible to tumah. Yeah. Ochshem, and Brais continues. Ochshem the halachos like Rabbi Yochanan, because he especially because first of all, anyway, that first of all, Rabbi Yochanan against Rab, the halachos usually like Rabbi Yochanan, and secondly, as Brais. Ochshem she'en makavlim truma ella lachshiyut toshu, and also another din, just as food is not able to be makabel truma only after it's picked from the ground. So also, they're only moksha l'kabel truma once they're picked from the ground. And Rashi brings from Torah's Kohenim. You have to say it logically. Rashi brings it on the pasuk also. It's all grown things become wet while they're growing because rain falls on them.
So they're attached to the ground.
That's the point. Because they're attached to the ground, it's not considered moksha l'kabel truma. In fact, it's not. If not, that's the point. That's what we're saying. The hechshel l'kabel truma and being l'kabel truma only applies once it's picked. In fact, so Rashi only brings on the pasuk the part about it.
Separate from the ground, when
it's separate from the ground. In fact, so Rashi on the pasuk only brings the matter of that it only is moksha l'kabel truma once it's picked, because otherwise inevitably water falls on it while rain falls on it while it's growing. The Sifri actually mentions also, Rashi brings over here from the Sifri, another point also. Inevitably you have shrotim, you have mice and other creatures that live in fields of grain or whatever. Yeah, if you're going to say that things are able to become tame while they're attached to the ground, everything would be tame. So therefore, they're there. Okay. Fine. The point being, anyway, the first part of the Braisa makes it clear that a yad also works for hechsher, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, and the halacha is like.
Once you find a sheret in something that's planted, you take it out with a sheret to become tame?
Well, if you were to take it out and the sheret is still hanging off it, yeah, it'll become tame. Well, as long as it's moksha l'kabel truma. It would have to be first moksha l'kabel truma.
If it's wet, in other words.
Well, if it becomes wet after it's picked. And mind you, also, we know, as we've discussed before, that it has to become wet l'rotzon. It has been, meaning in other words, that the person wanted it to become wet.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Another din. Amar Rav, ein yad l'pochas mikazayis. Rav says there's no concept of a yad where the food is less than a kazayis in size. So we know, so in other words, let's say, for example, Rashi says, Rashi says we're talking daraisa, but wait. In other words, let's say, for example, you have, let's say, one bean, or you have a half kazayis of meat with a yad. So let's say, the question is, according to Rashi over here and in a number of other places in Shas, Rashi learns that food can only become tame if you have a kabeisa altogether in one place. Now, we already established that a yad is not a kazayis. So how would this one bean or half a kazayis of meat ever become tame anyway? So Rashi explains, we're talking about you have other food together with it that makes up a kabeisa total. So let's say, for example, you have one bean that has a yad attached to it. Then it's together with other beans in a pot, let's say. So total you have a kabeisa of food. Therefore, it's able to be makabel truma. However, Rav says, since the yad is only attached to the one bean, and the one bean is too small to be important, therefore the yad doesn't do anything as far as truma v'tahara. So if something tame touches the yad. Well, so we're going to talk about soon, for example, we're going to talk about, for example, pods or stalks or other such things. But yeah, let's say, for example, think of, for example, green peas, right? The green peas come, they grow inside a pod.
Right.
So yeah, you could be talking about a pod that's attached to one pea. Actually, we'll talk about that soon in the Gemara, whether we're talking about pods, whether we're talking about stalks, whatever. We'll get to that soon. But the point is, the Rav will say, even though you have total a kabeza of food over here, so it's able to become tame.
Around that pea.
Together with that one pea, you have other peas in the bowl together with it. So altogether, you have a kabeza of food. But the yab, the pod, let's say, is attached to only one pea. So Rav will say, that's not enough for it to be considered a yab.
What do you mean?
The yad would have to be attached to at least a kazayas of food. If you had, let's say, the total number of peas in the pod equal the kazayas, let's say, and the pod is attached to them, and then you had more food in the bowl, more peas or whatever in the bowl to make up a total of a kabeza, then yes, the yad would be machnas and moti
tumah. So they cannot only be in contact with each other; they have to be attached to each other.
Well, the yad has to be attached. That's
the
definition of yad.
But
that's the point. They don't have to be attached. They can just be in one bowl, for example. But they do have to. They all have to be touching. But in other words, Rav's point is that if the yad itself is not attached to at least a kazayis of food, then it doesn't have the importance of a yad. Yeah. Tosfos discusses.
So a yad attached to a pea.
That's exactly what Rav is saying. Right. Tosfos discusses that a little bit, but not necessarily. Among other things, Tosfos says, let's say we could be talking about that the rest, that the food, the hafakazayis, let's say, is attached to other food, actually attached, not just in the same bowl, but only weakly attached. If you were to pick one of them up, the rest of it, no, it's attached to the yad in the normal way. But let's say, in other words, you have, the yad is attached again, let's say, to one half of kazayas of meat. That half kazayas of meat, in turn, is weakly attached to some other food in the bowl. But weakly attached, there's an actual attachment, not just like Rashi is saying they're all together in the bowl, but weakly attached, such that if you were to pick up the yad and the piece of meat, the rest of it would not go together with it. Those two pieces would, but therefore, and that's the point. Nevertheless, so you have it. So in other words, you have a kabbasis, the mitam, the chumasarichlin, but nevertheless, you don't have, again, the yad does not have enough chiles. So in other words, all that Rashi and Tosfos are arguing about is basically the question, when we say that you have a kabbasis of food over there, do we mean it's enough for it to just be all in one bowl, or does it mean there has to actually be some sort of connection between them? Tosfos is saying there has to be some sort of connection. With that said, you have Rishonim who learn that actually any amount of food by itself can become tame, a kabbasis you only need to transmit tumor to something else. So they would say, very straightforward, there, but we're not even talking about there's anything else in the bowl. You have a pod attached to one pea, and the question is that pea able to become tame through its pod, and Rav is saying that not. Okay. So that's Rav. The Ein Shomer L'Pachas Mikapoil, and
in case of grapes, for instance, where they cluster together,
yeah,
and you do have a yard, so what's the deen according to
Rashi? So according to Rashi, they're all touching. The pastures, they all count together towards the kabbalah.
They don't touch each other. They have.
Well, no, but you have a normal cluster of grapes. The grapes are thickly enough clustered on it that they touch each other.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a good example.
Right. Okay, so anyway, so Rav is saying that a yad is not considered a yad unless it's attached to at least a kazayas of food. Hold on. The Ein Shomer L'Pachas Mikapoil, and when it comes to a shomer, fine, a shomer has more stringent in him, but it has to be attached to something at least the size of a bean in order to be considered a shomer. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan says no. Yes, yad l'pachas mikazayis, yes, shomer l'pachas mikapoil. No, a yad has importance even if it's attached to less than a kazayis. A shomer has importance even if it's attached to less than to something less than the size of a bean. The Ramban actually learns that Rav Yochanan would say it means according to the Ramban, Rav Yochanan is saying even less than the size of a bean. He's just mentioning a bean because Rav mentioned it. According to some other Rishonim, the Rashba, I think, for example, disagrees with the Ramban and says that no, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that less than the size of a bean is not considered significant.
Which size of bean?
Poil means a white bean. Yeah, not sure about that, but yeah. Mace, the Gemara says, have a contradiction. A Braisa says as follows: Beis Atzomos, if you have two bones from a human being. Now, the bones by themselves are not enough to be metame ba'oil because they either have to be large, and you either have to have enough bones to constitute most of the human body, or they have to be a head, or they have to be a head.
Full
or
bones?
Yeah, we're talking about full bones. We're talking about their smallish bones, so therefore, by themselves, they're not metame, they're metame magro masa, but they're not metame ba'oil unless you have enough of them collected together, and here you don't. Each one of these bones has a half kazayas of meat on it. The hichnis roshehen beis labayis. So now what happened is you took the bare ends of the bones that don't have the meat on them and stuck them into a house. Now we also are assuming at this point in the discussion that we're talking about that these bones do not have marrow in them either. Because if they have marrow, then the bones are a shomer for the marrow.
Bones are shomer for the marrow.
Marrow, because the marrow is inside them and the bone is.
Well,
then the shomer we said is mitzarev, so then they count. But yeah, then of course the house becomes tame, yeah, because you have a kazayin between the bones and the meat. But the point is here we're talking about bones that don't have marrow in them, and so they only have. Aren't in them. They only have a half. Each one has a half a kazayas on one end. Instead, you stuck the two ends, the end of each bone that does not have meat on it, into the house. So what happens? I buy a smile away, and the house now is overshadowing those two ends of the bone. I buy a tummy. The house becomes tummy. However, Yehuda ben Nekusa Omer Mishum Rav Yaakov. However, Yehuda ben Nekusa says in the name of Rav Yaakov, can't be. Heyach shnei atzomos mitzar from the kazayis. How do these two bones? Granted, if you had one bone that has a kazayis on it, sure, the yad can bring in tumah into the house. But the, here where it's attached to Lashana Kazayis, it shouldn't be considered a Yad. So now let's consider, now we have to figure out, according to Rab and according to Rabbi Yochanan, what's the scenario over here? Or and which opinions are they following? The Rab, so the question now is, according to Rab, Oro, we are trying to learn Torah over here. Please keep it quiet. Thank you. The Rab Hai B'mai Mukimo. So the question is, how is Rab going to say that this Braisa is talking about in such a way that he doesn't have to say that either opinion disagrees with him? Now, it's true that Rab is a Tana, and he can disagree with the Tanoim of the Braisa. However, let's see if we can find a way that Rab can make this Braisa, both opinions in this Braisa, work according to his opinion. E the Yad. Are we talking about that the bones are only a Yad because they don't have marrow in them? Kasha Reisha. Then you have a problem on Rab from the Reisha because we're saying that the Yad, it functions as a Yad even though each one only has a half Kazayas attached to it. And he's saying, Ein Yad, the Pachas Mekazayas. E B'Shomer. And if you're talking about that the bone is a Shomer, namely that it has marrow in it. But let's say, for example, you're talking about that, let's say you're talking about the marrow doesn't fill up the entire hollow of the bone. You could have, for example, a bone that's only partially filled with marrow. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the point would be therefore that you could argue that even if the end with the marrow is not in the house, fine, you can say a shomer is machnes and moti truma, and the point is that the bone is still considered a shomer, Rashi says, because as long as the bone is still closed up, it still functions as a shomer for the marrow inside, because the marrow is not going to leak out or spoil or whatever, as long as the bone is protecting it.
And the cavity doesn't have to be filled with marrow.
That's the point. In other words, even if you have, but only one end of it has marrow, nevertheless, you would argue, therefore, that the entire bone, both ends of the bone, are considered a shomer. Well, in that case, kasha sefer. Then in that case, then how is Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa saying that it's tahor? So the question is, again, the question is not so much what Rav is going to do with this Braisa. Rav is entitled to argue with one or both opinions in the Braisa. However, can we find a way that Rav would say that both opinions can agree with him?
So the beginning of the Braisa.
The beginning of the Braisa, which says that the Tanakhama says that if you brought the two ends into the house is Tomei. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about that it's only a Yad, then if we're talking about that it's only a Yad, then according to Rav, the house shouldn't be Tomei. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about that the bones are a Shomer, then how is Yehuda ben Nakusa saying that the house shouldn't be Tomei? The fact is, it's a Shomer.
Mitzarek.
Yeah, and a Shomer is Mitzarek, in fact, yeah. Okay, and Rashi points out, I mean, the Gemara could have asked on Rabbi Yochanan from Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa as well, but the Gemara is asking on Rav, and once we have the answer for Rav, then we'll understand that according to Rabbi Yochanan as well.
You're leaving?
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, one second. You walk me out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Ebo is same of a Shomer, so you can answer like this. You can
answer. Don't touch me.
We are trying to learn over here. Please have your conversations elsewhere.
I'll meet you in the back.
Okay, so the answer is Ibo is same as Yad. The question again is that what is the scenario in this Braisa? Is this bone a Yad or is it a Shomer? If it's a Yad, then according to Rav, it should not transmit Truma into the house because Ein Yad L'Pachas Mekazayis. If it's a Shomer, then everybody should agree it's transmitting Truma into the house, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa. So what's the scenario? According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's a question only according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa. Okay, so the answer is Ibois aim of a Shomer, Ibois aim of a Yad. You can answer that the Braisa is talking about a case where the bone is where the bones are a Shomer, and you can answer also that it's talking about a case where they're only a Yad. Ibois aim of a Yad. You can answer that it's talking about where they're only a Yad, namely there's no marrow in them. Ruhu de Omer could have Yehuda ben Nakusa, and you could say that Rav is following Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa's opinion. That Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa would say that because Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa is saying because the bones are not a shomer, because their only possible function is a yad, because there's no marrow in them, then they can't transmit truma into the house, because each one only has a half of kazayis. Good, that's exactly what Rav is saying. So Rav is following Rabbi Yehuda ben Nakusa's opinion. the body's name of a shomer, or you could say the case is that we're talking about that the bones are a shomer, that they have marrow in them, Rodama, Katanakama. In that case, Rav would agree with the Tanakama. Therefore, that's why the house is becoming Tomei.
Meaning that there's more than a
concern? In other words, there's marrow inside them. And therefore the bone actually counts. The bone being a shomer actually counts towards the kazayas. But it doesn't necessarily count towards the kazayas, because again, we said it doesn't count towards Tumas Nevelos. But nevertheless, if there's a kazayas of it actually says yes shomer lachatzi zayin. Rav will say that there's no such thing as a shomer as a yad unless it's attached to a kazayas. But Rav will say that a shomer has importance. He said l'pachas mikapoil. He says only if there's less than a bean size will a shomer not work. But as long as you have something more than the size of a bean, which you do, you have more marrow in there than the size of a bean, then Rav will say that it's less than a kazayas. So good, then in that case, the braisa could be talking about where these bones have marrow in them, therefore you stuck in even the end that doesn't have marrow. Nevertheless, each one contains more than a bean-sized bit of marrow. Therefore, Rav is going to say the house becomes tomei because you have altogether between the marrow and the meat on the outside of the bones and whatever you have, Okay, yeah. Fine. So we can explain it that way. So no contradiction from this braisa to Rav or to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, another braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kulis Chiyeshala Kazayas Basar, a kulis, which is a thigh bone, that has a kazayas of meat on it. Now Rashi points out, which actually the Gemara itself is going to point out soon, that a thigh bone, like most of the long bones in the body, generally contains marrow. So a thigh bone that has on it a kazayas of meat, gereres kula l'truma, then that kazayas draws along the whole bone as far as truma, meaning in other words, the bone. It's functioning as a yad or as a shomer. That if you have it together with a kabeza of food and a sheret touches any part of the bone, then the meat on it is going to become tamei. Acherim oimrim and acherim say afilo ein alay ala kapoil. Acherim usually means remeir. Yeah, even if there's only a bean-sized piece of meat on this bone, gereres kol l'truma, then that causes that the whole bone is able to be able to transmit truma. So the question again is, Rav hai b'mai mukimah. So again, what would Rav say? What's the scenario in this braisa over here with this kulis? Does it have marrow and therefore it's a shomer, or does it not have marrow and therefore it's a yad? Yad, if you're going to say he's talking about it's only a yad, it happens to be a bone which is empty of marrow, kasha sefer, then you have a problem with the sefer, that we're saying even if there's only a poil on it, then acherim say that the whole thing is able to that according to Rav, you don't have a shomer so basically the same problem as before, that Rav is saying a yad l'pachas mikazayis, and here acherim are saying that you can have a yad for a poil. And if you're talking about that it's a shomer, that there's marrow inside it, kasha reisha, then you have a problem with the opinion in the reisha, that the Tanakama says only if you have a kazayas of meat on it, is it goro kolo the truma, does it drag the whole thing along as far as truma, implying if there was less than a kazayas or not, and Rav is saying a shomer functions even when you have all the way down to the pearl, all the way down to the size of a bean. The answer is, again, one possibility is Rav can understand that the braisa is talking about a bone which is only a yad, not a shomer, in other words, doesn't have marrow in it, and therefore he follows Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakama of this braisa, is saying that, therefore, only if it has a kazayas of meat on it is the bone considered a yad, if not, then not, which is exactly what Rav said, but with less than a kazayas, you know, it's not considered a yad. Or Rav could understand the braisa as talking about a bone that is a shomer, and Rav's opinion would follow acherim that as long as he says you can have a shomer for as small as the size of a bean, so therefore good, as long as you have at least the size of a bean of marrow over there, then already gereres kula l'truma, then it makes that the whole bone is able to transmit truma.
Because it's mitzvah.
We said it's not mitzvah for trumas nevelos. Because you can have because a shomer functions as a shomer even when what it's being shomer on is only the size of a bean. is what Rav is saying.
According to Rav.
We're talking according to Rav, yeah. Okay. Rav Yochanan, Amar Kula B'Shomer. Rav Yochanan would say that the Braisa is talking about where the bone is a Shomer. And so we would say that Rav Yochanan follows the view of Acherim. So he's not following Rav Yehuda's view that you have to have a Kezayis on it. He would hold like Acherim. So the question is, what do you mean Acherim Hokapokahamri? What do you mean Acherim mentioned that you have to have at least the size of a bean? Rav Yochanan seems to be saying less than that. The answer is, I did Kama Tanakama Shiura. Fine, but you could say that since the Tanakama, since Rabbi Huda mentioned a Shiura, because I is Kami Inunami Shiura, therefore you could say that for parallelism, Acherim also mentioned a Shiur of a bean, but actually that would mean Rabbi Yochanan might understand it to mean that even if it's less than that, it would still be considered a Shomer. Again, that's subject to the Machlokas Rishonim, whether Rabbi Yochanan himself would say that there's a Shomer for less than a Poel or not. You could, according to the Ramban, that Rabbi Yochanan himself would say that that there is a shomer for even less than a pearl, then
it has to be at least a pearl.
I think the Rashba, for example, disagrees with the Ramban on that. Yeah. Okay.
So that's why.
Right. But then, yeah, the point being, therefore, so okay. So that Braisa about the coolest could work according to either one. Omar Rob. Well, so far, no. Omar Rava, so Rava says on this, a Rabba, Shitamuk about this changes the two, Dekanami de Bashomer Askin, and you can actually prove from the wording of the Braisa that it is definitely talking about a Shomer, which again, we said according to Rav, it could be either a Yad or a Shomer. According to Rav Yochanan, necessarily it has to be talking about a Shomer, because according to him, if we're talking about a yad, then he said yes, yad the pachas the kezayis, then there'd be no reason for Rabbi Yehuda to mention only if there's a kezayis on it. Rabba says we can definitely show that the braisa is talking about a shomer to katoni coolest, because it used the expression of coolest, which is a thigh bone, and a thigh bone typically has marrow in it. Shnamino, okay, so that proves it. Again, when you have a machloikas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, generally the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, and that is how it is over here, that you can have a shomer for even less than a kezayis, and you can have a yad for even less than a kezayis, and you can have a shomer even for less than the size of a bean.
Okay.
I said it wrongly before. When he says yes, shomer lepachas mikapoil, it means obviously even if it's less than a bean. The question is, rather, when he said any yad lepachas mikazayis, would he agree that a yad you have to have at least a bean-sized piece, or would he say even less than that? That was the machlokas between the Ramban and everybody else. No, that's I said about shomer, but no, I think I said it about shomer anyway. But no, we're actually talking about yad. When Rabbi Yochanan says yes, yad lepachas mikazayis, does he mean I don't hold you need a kazayis, but I hold you need at least a poil, which is how the Ramban says it? Or does he mean it could be even less than a poil, but he's just mentioning pachas mikazayis because that's the Rashba, for example. Yeah. Okay. Fine. It's fine. So now we have a further discussion about this business when this braisa that we just quoted, when Acherim say that even if you only have a coil of meat on this bone, then it makes the whole bone able to be a yad or a shomer and transmit tumor. So now we have a discussion about that. It's Rabbi Yochanan Omar Zehu Shir. Rabbi Yochanan says that when Acherim say the size of a bean, they mean exactly that. If it was less than a bean, it wouldn't be considered a shomer, which could still be a form of rab. If we're talking about a shomer, but Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Zashir, and Rabbi Yochanan would say no, they don't mean davka bean, even if it was less than a bean. Rabbi Chanina says that it would be that zehu shir, that even the Acherim agree that if you have less than a bean size over there, then you don't have a shomer. And Rabbi Yochanan says no, Ein Zashir, they don't mean specifically a bean, but not less than that. They just mean you can have a shomer for any amount. So the question is, Bakatoni for poil. Okay, but Acherim are using the expression kipoil, the size of a bean. No, poil would mean a bean itself. Kipoil means the size of a bean, but it sounds like they at least say that it has to be at least the size of a bean. Mm-hmm. The answer is, again, I did the Kama Tanakama Shiura, same answer as previously, since the Tanakama mentioned a Shiura, because I is Kami Inu Nami Shiura, you could say that therefore Acherim also used an expression involving a Shiura, involving a poil, but not to imply that they would say that even if it was less than a poil on that, it wouldn't work. Toshma, so come, we'll prove from another Mishnah in Uktin.
As I said,
we're still trying to discuss this issue. Is there a minimum size for a shomer? Is there a minimum size for the food that a shomer is attached to? Again, another mission in Uktin we're going to quote. As I said, our perek is somewhat like a Gemara on Masechta Uktin. The Mishnah starts by talking about over there a case of you have a shomer of beans. Peas rather. Well, pearl, I'm not sure if it means beans or peas, but whatever. Various kinds of peas and various kinds of beans grow inside a pod. Because when you eat green beans, for example, you have a pod, and inside them you have the individual peas or the individual beans. So the Mishnah over there begins by describing what if you have a case where you emptied out the shirit. It's interesting, by the way. Tosfos quotes over here. Tosfos has here a Dibra Maskel Shavit Shiriknoi, which you actually don't find in the Gemara over here. So Tosfos' Dibra Maskel is actually referring to the beginning of that Mishnah, which our Gemara is not quoting. A bit of an unusual thing. Anyway, yeah. The point is, Rashi over here explains that the Shavit that we're talking about is the pod. Tosfos says no, that the Shavit over here actually means the stalk. The stem of the plant, which is
Shavit, is the entrance, basically.
Shavit doesn't mean an entrance. Shavit means a stick or a scepter, like the Shavit Hazal from the Gilas Esther.
Right.
So Rashi over here explains that the Shavit of our Mishnah means the pod, which the peas or the beans grow inside.
Right.
Tosfos says it doesn't mean the pod. Tosfos says it doesn't mean the pod. It means the stem. It means the stalk of the plant. Stalk of the pea plant, of course there is. There's a stalk to which the pods are attached, and inside the pods you have the. Okay. So the point is that again.
Outside the pod.
So the point is, if you emptied out the pod. So you emptied out the shavit. So according to Rashi, you emptied out the pod. According to Tosfos, you emptied out the you took all the pods off of the stem.
Right.
Off of the branch. Yeah. And the Mishnah discusses over there is still considered a shomer. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah mitaher b'shel poel. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says that if we're talking about the shavit of peas, then the shavit is not considered a shomer anymore, because peas are fairly large and they don't really need a shomer, because you can easily pick them out, you can easily clean them, even if they don't have the shomer. So therefore it's not considered a shomer. Or metame, b'shel kitnis, but Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, if we're talking about a shomer of smaller beans, kitnis or various kinds of smaller beans, then it would still be considered a shomer, because then they still need a shomer. They're too small to pick out on their own.
So it depends on their size, basically, right.
And he says, but the point is, these kidneys are smaller than a pearl. Mipnesha roitza b'mashmishon, and the reason is because you still want to be able to use them to handle. You still want to use them to be able to handle the little seeds inside them. So the point is, therefore, so you see that you can be a shomer for something less than the size of a pearl, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying over here that we're talking about a shirit that's attached to something less than the size of a pearl. The answer is Kidja Omer of Acha Bre de Rabba. We can answer using an answer that Rav Acha Bre de Rabba uses later in our sugya, Bekulcha, that when we're talking about it here, when Rav Elazar ben Azariah is talking about the ones of kitnis, he's not talking about the shirit, he's talking about the stalk, and therefore, so we're not talking about a shomer anymore, we're talking about a yad. Even if everybody agrees, a yad, you need a larger amount attached to it than you do. So therefore, again, when it comes to peas...
How much do we say for a yad?
For a yad, well, Rav had said before, you need at least a kazayit. Attached to the yad.
So the size of the yad itself?
No, you have in other places, and I think it may be in our parak as well, the Gemara talks about, sometimes you have a yad which is longer than you need. So therefore, only part of it counts as a yad. But that's a different matter. But in other words, so over here, the point is, so we're not talking about a shomer anymore, we're talking about a yad. And therefore, so that's why he would be making the distinction. Peas being bigger, you don't need a yad for them. They can more easily be handled just as easily without a yad. Kidneys being smaller, you need a yad. And therefore, so umay b'mashmishon. So therefore, we can use the umishum yad. So it's an issue of yad. Hachanami b'kolcho umishum yad. So we can answer the same thing over here that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is making a distinction, not about the pods, but about the stalks. and that the difference is not a shomer, the stalk is not a shomer, it's a yad. So we should say the same thing over here. Umay b'mashmishon b'tashmishon. So what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mean? When he says b'mashmishon, he doesn't mean b'mashmishon as in that you use it to handle them, to be able to pick them out, right? He means b'tashmishon, that you use the stalk, the piece of stalk attached to them, to carry them around, to be able to move them from place to place using the stalk that they're attached to.
B'mashmishon means what?
Mashmishon would mean more that it's a shomer, that you use it as a shomer to protect them so that you can feel around in there and clean them out and whatever and be able to eat them without any dirt or whatever.
And
tashmishon just means for use as a yad. So therefore we can say the Mishnah is talking about a yad, not about a shomer. And fine, therefore, so we don't have any proof from that about a shomer being about something being considered a shomer if it's attached to less than a pole. So again, we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Hanina are arguing on the point: does a shomer need to be attached according to Acherim, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Does it need to be attached to only at least the size of a pole, or even less than that? Our Mishnah doesn't really prove that one way or the other, because we're not talking a shomer; we're talking a yad. Toshma, the Tonad Vei Rabbi Shmuel. Let's go back to the Braisa of Tonad Vei Rabbi Shmuel. Still trying to prove the same point, yeah, of course. So we'll try to prove from Tonad Vei Rabbi Shmuel, the Braisa that we drew at the beginning of our parak, when it says Akol Zera Zerua Asher Yizareya, that it says any seed that can be planted, that any plantable seed that's planted, means Kederach Shemnei Adam Metzien, means that seeds and food are able to become Tomei in the way that people normally take them out to plant. Chita Biklipasa, wheat in its shell, usoda biklipasa, barley in its shell, va'avdoshim biklipasa, and lentils in their shell. That's where we said that's where we learned the whole concept of shomer. And now the point is, a wheat grain or a barley grain or a lentil is much smaller than a pearl, and we see there's a concept of a shomer for less than that. The answer is beria shiny. You can say a beria is something different. When Rav is saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, and when Rav Chanina is saying according to Rabbi Meir, ein shomer l'pachas mikapoil, they're talking about when the piece of food that the shomer is protecting is not a beria. But here, when you have a naturally formed product like a grain, well, it's not a beria in the usual sense in halacha, because we discussed earlier when we learned about the sugya beria in Perek Din Anosha, we said among other things a beria has to be something from a living creature. But over here we're using beria in a somewhat different sense. That in other words we mean a natural product as it comes originally. A grain of wheat is a natural product as it comes, and the same thing with a barley grain and so forth. So therefore they can say that therefore those things are important enough that even if they're less than the size of a pearl, then the shomer is still considered a shomer. But you wouldn't necessarily apply that. You wouldn't necessarily apply that to shomer of food that's not in its original natural state. For example, a piece of meat, whether with a shomer, or for example, a cut up fruit that still has a shomer or whatever, that wouldn't necessarily be the same.
But it would be uniquely applied in this case.
In this case, because it's a beria. But other than that, if we're not talking about a beria, then it has to be, you could argue, it still has to be a pearl or more. Fine. Rav Oshia. So now Rav Oshia asks a related question. Shnei Shomrim Maushim Sarfu. Can two Shomrim combine together? So we have to figure to combine together to join to make up the kibetza. So the question is, Hechi Damza. Well, to make up the kibetza. If you have less than a kibetza of food and you have two Shomrim. So the question is, Hechi Damza. What do you mean by two Shomrim? Ilema Bezer Gabzer. Do you mean one Shomer above another one? No such thing. We said before, there's no such thing as one shomer on top of another. Vahatznan, we learn in a Mishnah, yet another Mishnah in Uksin, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Sholosh Klippas V'Botzel, when it comes to an onion, you have three types of peels that have different dinim as far as Tumah V'Tahara. Pnimis, the inner peel, which is the first white, the inner one is the first white layer, which is edible. You know, when you peel an onion, you have a brown layer on the outside. And then you keep on peeling, and eventually you get to the white layers that are edible. So the inner, so the first white layer, which is edible, so that one is actual food. Ben shlema ben tzedura mitzarefes. So whether it's whole or whether it's cut, it counts towards the kibetza because it's the actual food. And soyis, the middle peel, is a shomer. Therefore, shlema mitzarefes tzedura ein mitzarefes. It only counts towards the kibetza only if it's whole, but not if it's cut open. Because once it's cut open, it tends to fall off, so it doesn't really function as a shomer anymore. Chitzona and the outer one, the brown layer, Ben Schleimer, Ben Kachel, Ben Kachtahoda. Either way, it's not Makabel Truma, and it doesn't transmit Truma, because there's a Schleimer on top of a Schleimer. So you see that, a Schleimer on top of a Schleimer. There's no such thing. So what is Rabboshi asking? There's no such thing. So what is Rabboshi asking?
Because what again?
Because we said, so there's no Schleimer on top of a Schleimer. So therefore, the outer
sleeper is one next around the other one.
That's what we're saying. So the inner one counts as a Schleimer, the outer one does not.
Oh.
Yeah. In the case of an onion, the point is, because once you cut the inner layer, once you cut the inner layer, then it tends to fall off. With other kinds of foods, it's not necessarily like that. Even, let's say, with an eggshell, if you have a hole in it, nevertheless, it can still be considered a Schleimer.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of onions, we say not. But the point is, we see that there's no Schleimer on top of a Schleimer.
So what
is Rav Oshi asking? The answer is, Rav Oshi is Schleimer Oichel Shechilko Kamaboyle. Fine, but what Rav Oshi is asking about is, suppose you have a Schleimer of food which you divide. So Rashi says, let's say, for example, you had a kibbeza of food, and it had a shomer on it, and then you divided that kibbeza in half. Or Rashi gives another scenario. Let's say, for example, you have two small onions. Neither one by itself is the size of a kibbeza. Each one has its own individual shomer, but the two of them combined together would make up a kibbeza if you count those shomer in. So the question is, do they count? Each shomer is a shomer for less than a kibbeza, but yeah. So that would be the question, do they count or not? Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says we're not talking
about the amount. It's not really one on top of the other.
That's the thing. That's why Rav Oshi is asking. Right. So Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says we're not talking about the food is completely divided in half. Of course, then the shomer doesn't combine. We're talking about, let's say, for example, that you have, and also, for example, Tosfos says that also if you have, let's say, two separate nuts or two separate onions, also obviously it won't combine. No, what we're talking about, Tosfos says, Rav Oshi's question is, let's say, for example, you have a piece of meat, which is a kibbeza. You have skin attached to it. Fine, so far so good. The skin is a shomer. Now let's say you cut through the skin. So you have part of it as skin is attached to one part of the meat. Part is attached to a different part, but you still have a kibbeza of meat together. But the shomer now has been divided into two pieces that aren't touching each other, but they're both touching the chunk of meat. So now the Oshi is asking whether it combines.
So you have one piece of meat.
Yeah, one piece of meat with skin, and then you divided the skin. You divided the skin and left each piece still attached to the respective side of the meat. And all the meat is still attached together.
So you have two pieces of skin and one piece of
meat. Right. So that would be the question. Rav Oshi, according to Tosfos, Shomer Sheoichel Shechilko Kamaboyle. Do we say, Kivin Dahai Le Megan Ahai, Bahai Le Megan Ahai? So do we say that since the one Shomer is not protecting the other part, and vice versa, according to Rashi, again, let's say we're talking about two separate pieces of food or two onions or whatever. So obviously the peel of one onion doesn't protect the other. According to Tosfos, the same thing. The skin on this side is not protecting this side, and vice versa. So then, maybe then in that case it doesn't combine together to make up the kibbeza, or maybe not. Given the high megan adiday, since this one protects its part, the high megan adiday, and this one protects its part, mitzdarfin. Maybe they do combine.
With different pieces of skin.
Yeah. So let's try to prove it. Toshma, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Mitaho b'shel Poel. We said before that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says in the case of pods of peas that once you emptied out the pod doesn't transmit trauma anymore. Or metame b'shel kitnis, but it's still tame if it's a part of kitnis. Mifnesha roisa b'mashmishan, because again, because you want to have the part available in order to keep the food clean and so forth. So we see therefore that so again we see that we're talking about over here that let's say you have separate pods, each one with some peas or beans or whatever in it, and we're saying that they combine together because obviously any one pod doesn't contain a whole kibbeza by itself, and we see apparently they combine. And again, the answer is Omer Rav Acha Breder Rava. So Rav Acha Breder Rava gives the answer, and here's where we have the answer that we used before. Bekocha, we're not talking about the pods, we're talking about the stalks that they're attached to. So it's not a matter of Shomer, it's a matter of Yad, or Mishum Yad, or Maybe Mashmishon, the Tashmishon. We're not talking about keeping the food clean and free of dirt and whatever. We're talking about to be able to handle it, to be able to pick it up by means of the stalk, which is Yad rather than Shomer. So therefore, we don't have a proof from there about this case of Shomer that was divided.
So far we don't have an answer.
We'll have another Tashma, but we'll leave it for tomorrow at this point. Okay.
Are we going to prove it?